Today on Real Radio.
Worship is an expression. It should be personal from our lives. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he returned to me, and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet upon a solid rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Verse 3 goes on to say, and he put a new song in my mouth. I love that. How can we not express our love? When we see the words to the songs on the screen, we should get those into our heads and sing to him.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. The first six verses of chapter 14 provide the basis for a mini-series our teacher has called Free to Worship. What is worship? Is it music? Do we engage in it just certain times of the week? Is our worship true and acceptable to the Almighty? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Worship is an indicator of our intimacy with God. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went up, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray and continued there all night to prayer and to God. Jesus prayed all night long. You might say, how can he do that? Because he was encountering his Father, Jesus, God in flesh, draped in human skin, feeling and experiencing everything that you and I feel today. Our great mediator took on our clothing, as it were. And he saw it necessary to cry out to his Father in his humanity all night long in prayer. And you look at the life of Jesus and the things that he accomplished and did and said, even to the casting out of demons. Jesus said himself, this type cannot come out without much fasting and prayer. Intimacy with God. Worship is the greatest announcement in the life of the believer that they love on their Lord God, to be intimate with him. It's a powerful thing to consider. Also this, fourthly, worship is to be an expense. Worship's to cost us. It's to cost us when we gather together. Now, you know, I have to tell you something. This sounds kind of corny. When I'm talking expense here to worship, I'm not talking about money. But money is a part of worship, isn't it? The Bible says that when you give to God, God loves a hilarious giver. Did you know that? The word glad or joyful, we get the English word hilarity. You're supposed to be glad about giving what God has given to you. And that's everything, by the way. It's not just money. It used to be in California or America that it was easy to give money. Now that's kind of drying up, isn't it? I'm not panicking about that. It just means, listen, class, are you listening, church? It just means that our worship's going to get all the sweeter, because if it's going to cost us more to put that $5 bill in the offering, then God is pleased, not at our suffering, but at our expense of worship, because he is worthy. You say, I don't feel like singing, but you sing to him anyway. God loves that. When the scripture says he loves a hilarious giver, we need to break that chain of thinking that it's just money. It's our time, and it's our effort, it's our energy, it's our service, that when we live for God, and that's an entire act of worship, but it's going to cost something. You know, I wrote this down in my notes because I met somebody last week. I met two families last week. One family drives from La Quinta, California. Now, do you know where La Quinta is? That's right out there by Palm Desert and Palm Springs. That's an hour and a half drive. And you say, well, that's their business. Okay, that's fine. That is their business. You imagine how much gas money it costs to go that far? Just to come to worship. Then I met somebody last week from Simi Valley. And I thought, well, they're visiting. Maybe they've heard from the radio program. They said, no, we come. We've been coming for 7 months, I think they said now. Simi Valley. Do you know where Simi Valley is? I don't know where it is. Where is it? Sounds far. See me in the valley. You know, bye-bye. That's amazing. But worship is to cost us something. David said, I will not give to God that which cost me nothing. Our worship. Are we really serious about worshiping the Lord? So it's an act of the will. It's based upon our education of knowing God that will lead us to intimacy with God. And any act of worship would be that of an expense. And then finally, we see in this point that worship is a forever action. And I like this. My friend, three things in all of our lives, three things that transport you and I into the eternal realm of God right here, right now, in real time. And by the way, let's be honest. There's two areas of real time. There's the time that you're living in now, the now of this moment, that's real time. And there's the real time of eternity. And whatever real time it is in on earth time, it's real time in eternity. God is connected to the now. Did you know that in eternity, the days do not go from one day to the next to the next? Did you know that? When you get to heaven forever, when eternity begins, it's not going to be days after days after days after days. It will be what's called in the Bible the day of God. And guess how long that day is? It's one day. Forever. Aeonios. Postionios, epics upon epics without end, time, forever, nonstop, one day, forever. And listen, when you pray, when you and I pray, we enter into eternity when we pray. I don't know why we don't pray more, but don't you think we should? That when we pray, that's what happens? We affect the heart of God in prayer at that moment? Every time we pray. The second thing is, the Bible says that when a sinner comes to the repentance of their sins to Christ, they accept the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that angels in heaven rejoice in that instant. Isn't that awesome? So it can be 9 a.m. in the morning when a person says, I want to accept Christ. And I don't know what time it is in heaven, but angels begin to worship at that second. I love it. Third thing, there's only three. Worship. When you worship, God's affected. We should be experiencing in and through of our lives those three glorious things. It is a forever action. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, when Isaiah saw that vision of heaven above, he said, and one of the angels cried to one another before the throne of God, and they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Revelation 4:8. And the four living creatures, each having six wings. I love to read that. One angel, these seraphim around the throne, one of them has six, they have three sets of wings. Six wings. And they have full, they're full of eyes around and within. Freaky. They do not rest day or night saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. They do it forever, says the Bible. Isaiah 55:12, for you shall go out with joy. This is a verse, by the way, of the millennium that's to come. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Hang on. The mountains and the hills shall break forth in singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You silly Christian. Trees don't have hands. I understand that, but have you ever been laying underneath a tree when the wind blows? And those leaves start slapping one another and moving. Does that not sound awesome? I have big trees in my backyard. I love it. When the wind blows, it kind of sounds thunderous. When the millennium begins, when Christ returns in the second coming to establish his kingdom, the mountains will somehow rejoice. The hills are going to get all excited, and the trees of the field. Somehow nature is going to say, yes, finally. I tell you what, you want to talk about... global warming. What's this? The climate stuff and environmentalism and all that kind of stuff. I got one word for you about all that concern. Jesus. Amen. He made it. He's going to come back and fix it. It's going to be awesome when he gets done with it. Everything we do as people, we mess it up. You notice that? We mess it up. He made it. He designed it. He's the engineer of it. And when he comes back, he's going to fix it. The Bible says, and boy, is this not great in Southern California. The Bible says that the deserts and the cactus, the deserts will explode with blooms of flowers. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Until you find out from botany what a needle is on a cactus. A needle on a cactus is an underdeveloped blossom. It never comes to growth. Can you imagine when the Lord comes back and nature itself begins to praise God? The deserts are going, we're all going to be driving, I don't know if we're going to have donkeys or what, but we're all going to be heading out to the Mojave to see the desert in color, probably make everything else look boring. That's awesome. And then obviously eternity in heaven forever will be worship. That's a great thing to consider. Point number three, take your notes, write them down. Free to worship means this, that worship, it's what becomes. What worship becomes in our lives, and it is this, worship becomes a personal expression. How can it not? Psalm 119, 108 says, "Accept, I pray, the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord." So watch this. Accept, I pray, the psalmist. Accept, Lord, I pray, the free will offering of my mouth. I tell you, when you go to church, when you come into worship, or when you're driving in your car, or wherever you're at, worship should be an ongoing thing. All the time, if we know him, right? This worship should be something that's coming out of us, and as it's flowing out of us, it is an absolute expression of what God has done in our lives. It's a statement we make. But it cannot be something where I hold a Bible to your head and say, all right, worship. I mean, I'd love to do that sometime. Because you know, sometimes the worship's going on and the people are like this. Oh. And it's like, oh, when are we gonna be done with this? That's not worship. That's not worship. So there's times when I want to grab you and, oh, were you here Wednesday night? Man, if you were not here Wednesday night, you were not here. And I'm not even going to tell you what happened because you were not here. You missed it. Something happened. And God blessed the worship of his people. Amen. I'm telling you why. Because the scriptures teach us that worship should be something that we express. My dad was a very practical guy. He was a farm boy born and raised in South Dakota and he was born and raised in a house. He wasn't even born and raised in a town. It was a house. And his big excitement was the day he ran away from home. He lied to my grandpa. He told my grandpa he was going to go get some stuff in town and got on a train and hitched a ride to San Diego and joined the Marine Corps. And that was it. He was a very simple guy. And my mom couldn't have come from two opposite ends of the planet. My dad was born and raised on the plains of South Dakota, a farm boy, and my mom was born and raised in paradise in the Hawaiian Islands. And it was the Marine Corps that brought them together. And I got to tell you, my mom was very expressive. She was pure Portuguese, a little tiny thing. And when she talked to you, she would say, "What do you want for breakfast?" It looked like she's going to kill you. And all she was saying is, "Do you want something to eat?" And my dad was like this. And I remember what you guys have all read. The first time I've read, I didn't read this in a book. I heard this in real life. I remember my mom saying to him, we were all in the room, and it was a Saturday or Sunday, and my mom said, "Don't you love me?" And you know what my dad's answer was? I think somebody heard that and wrote it down in books. "I go to work, don't I? I bring home the check, don't I?" The truth is, you want to feel it. You want to see it. The check can't come walking in the house saying, "Hey, baby, how are you?" The check can take you on a date, kind of, but you got to get invited. Worship is an expression. It should be personal from our lives. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he returned to me. And he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and the mire. And he set my feet upon a solid rock and gave me a firm place to stand." Verse 3 goes on to say, "And he put a new song in my mouth." I love that. How can we not express our love? When we see the words to the songs on the screen, we should get those into our heads and sing to him. Or else we're not worshiping him. Worship just doesn't mean because you showed up, you're worshiping him. It's a very serious issue. We need to worship him. A.W. Tozer writes, in fact, I'm going to quote him quite a bit this morning. A.W. Tozer wrote in his book on worship, "My worship is not pleasing to God when unless my offering is wholly devoted to God. I cannot be wholly devoted to God unless I have been cleansed of all that displeases God." Psalm 9, verse 1 says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart," said David. "I will tell of all of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Lord Most High." Tozer says, David says, that we need to be having in our lives things that are displeasing to God removed that we might worship him. Now, let's be honest. You and I will never, never live a sinless life. But as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, heaven becomes more desirable, understanding God becomes more important, and what happens in our lives, it's a tall tale sign of it, and that is you'll be prone to worship. Why? Because as God begins to work in you, you'll have to worship. If you know him, you'll have to worship. I'm not talking about running around town with your arms up and crashing into cars and falling out of your seat or something. I'm not talking about that. You can be worshiping God. I tell you what, first service this morning, driving up Eucalyptus Avenue, coming out of Chino Hills, hitting east, it was cloudy, and there was an opening in the sky just beyond this church, and there was a massive beam of sunlight coming through the clouds hitting the ground. And I got to tell you, this is what I'm talking about. And you may not even think this is worship. When I saw that, I said, because I could, there was nobody in the car. I was by myself. No one's around me. I said, "Lord, that's it. That's awesome." Seeing that causes me to think about your return. Oh, God, may I be ready. Lord, if I'm not, make me ready. That's worship. When you see a sunset, or you see like the little baby, and if something touches your heart, or you read a verse and you're moved. When you express that in thought or in your words, God is blessed by that because it's an absolute true act of worship. You can be in the sanctuary right here, right now, lifting your hands and singing, and your heart be 1,000 miles from God. It doesn't have to be that way, but it can be that way. Also this, worship becomes a public announcement. Worship becomes a public announcement. Exodus 15:1 says, "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord. And they spoke saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously." I'd like to have heard that because there's an estimated 2.5 to 3 million people coming out of Egypt. Can you imagine them singing that song? Wow. In 2 Chronicles 29:28, the Bible says that Solomon gathered all of the assembly together of people to worship. And the singers sang, and the trumpeters trumpeted. And all this continued until the burnt offering was consumed. And when they had finished the offering, the king and all those who were present with him bowed down and worshiped the Lord. That is awesome. Can you imagine seeing Solomon take his crown off and bow down and worship the Lord? And all of Israel worshiped. Ezra chapter 3, verse 11 says, "And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord." That is like group one. They said, "For God is good." And group two would have said in response, "For his mercy endures forever." Isn't that great? One group sang, "God is good." And the other group would sing, "His mercy endures forever." What a great thing. I think it's obvious that there's no such thing as part-time worship. If you think worship is a Wednesday night thing and a Sunday morning deal, no. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, any other corporate gathering that we can come together with is a collective act of worship. But if you are a real Christian, if you're true and in love with God, every moment of your movement is an act of worship to God. And here's our battle. Because that's true, we have a bizarre thought or we do something that we ought not to do. And yet, because we are worshipers of God, we snap out of that thing right now. We talked about that on Wednesday night regarding the life of Samson. You and I, as a believer tonight or today, if you and I are walking with God, we will not be sinless. But when we do sin, we'll want to get away from that thing as fast as possible. Why? Because we are a worshiping people and we've got to worship. Thirdly, worship becomes a spiritual power. Now, I like this, and I hope I don't offend anybody with this, but I'll tell you what. Are you prone to depression? Are you depressed? Worship. You say, well, I don't feel like worshiping. But it doesn't matter what you feel like. Do it. Watch what happens. Are you prone to worry? Worship. Watch what happens. The other day, you know, it's springtime, which at my house means all the weeds grow. So I went down to Home Depot or wherever I went, and I got the Roundup, and I shot the weed with the thing, right? Look normal. It looked like he got a bath, actually. I just look like I bathed him. He's standing there, he's all wet, this weed. Looked fine all day long. I was thinking, I'm going to get him tomorrow. The next day I went out there, he was completely dead. Withered, gone. Listen, if a chemical can be applied to something that is an irritant, that is not right, that's got to go, I want you to remember this. When you apply worship to your worry, to your depression, to your whatever, to your tendency to fret about things, when you apply worship to it, listen, it's like Roundup and that weed, it's going to die. That thing's got to go. Worship will do that. Our sacrifice of praise, the Bible says, consider this. The sacrifice of praise is like a vehicle that leads us up in the steps of the temple and onto the outer court and then to the inner court. And as we offer a sacrifice of praise, we proceed along, getting closer and closer to God. If you are not a worshiper of the Lord, then listen, I can guarantee you this, you're not a Bible reader. If you're not a Bible reader, then you don't care about the things of God. But you can be very religious and come to church, but you don't care about worshiping God. You don't care about offering anything to God. You don't care about studying His Word. It's not a life of worship. But listen, you want spiritual power. Here's the deal. If you have ever felt distant from God, and can I just say this? Who in here has not ever felt distant from God? We have all felt distant from God. What do you do about that? Well, I know what you're supposed to do about it. When I feel distant from God, I need to go with what I know. Because my feelings, like we mentioned last week, is going to trick us. So here's the thing. I'm to worship Him regardless of my feelings because worship is a propellant to my soul. You say, Jack, I thought you said a moment ago it shouldn't be contrived or drummed up. It's not. It shouldn't be. And that's not what I'm talking about. But watch this. It's kind of like this. And I hope this is not offensive. We're all adults in here, aren't we? In fact, if you brought your kid in here, we told you to put them in the children's ministry, didn't we? So here you go. I gave you enough time to plug their ears. Worship. We don't often feel like worshiping. And yet it's the most intimate, close thing that we can do with our God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Free to Worship. It's a look at the first 6 verses of Luke chapter 14, as well as numerous other passages in Scripture. It's all part of our fascinating journey through this New Testament narrative we call the Gospel of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're coming up to an American holiday that clearly has its historical roots in our Judeo-Christian faith. We're speaking, of course, about Thanksgiving, wherein we express our thanks to our Creator and Provider for all that we have. If you would like to express in words that for which you are thankful to Him, call and let us know. Call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Remember that all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. That number once again, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.